So Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he said, "Thy kingdom come, your will be done, on earth just like it is in heaven." So what does that mean? That means when we go and we see a situation that does not look like heaven, for example, anybody who is sick, the Bible, Jesus instructed us, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Actually, let's read that, okay? Let me finish Ephesians 4. Okay. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say sometimes. He didn't say when I feel like it. He said, you lay your hands on the sick, and they will recover. Why? Because Jesus paid for our salvation spiritually and physically. We studied this on Sunday, but maybe I'll review the scriptures that we studied, which proved this. In Isaiah 53, we studied on Sunday, it says, verse 4. Isaiah 53, 4, it says, Jesus, he took away, he bore our pains and our sicknesses in himself. So he took them away from us. Okay? And if you notice, throughout the Gospels, throughout the Scriptures, Jesus, he sent his disciples to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. Always those things were together. Okay? Because Jesus was not just interested in us spiritually and for a future salvation. He's interested to set us free from every attack of the enemy. Okay? All right, let's read this. Let's continue Ephesians 4 before we go off from here. We're in Ephesians 4, we read verse 13. Okay, so it talks about pastors, teachers, all of this. The purpose of it is to build up the body, the believers, right? Okay, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? So what does that say? It said there's teachers, pastors, apostles, all of this to build up the believers, the body, until when? It says until we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge. Okay, this knowledge is not just a piece of information in the head. In the original Greek, it means a knowledge that you live and experience, and you tasted it, you know it because you experience it. That's the kind of knowledge it's talking about. So it says, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what this is saying is God's plan is for us to walk in his fullness, right? As Jesus walked, John 14, 12, the same things Jesus did, we as believers are called to do the same thing, because the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of God, is in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. So the fullness of who he is inside of us. Now let's turn to Matthew 28. You know what? Let's go back to Ephesians 4. I'm not quite done there yet. Go back to Ephesians 4. I can't leave this yet. I want to get everything out. So it says, let's read verse 14. So it talks about growing into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, Ephesians 4. It says, so that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Okay, so it doesn't say just grow up. It says we are to grow up into Christ. So Christ is the head of the body, right? Jesus is the head of the church, the body. And we, as His body, are to grow up into Him. In other words, it's saying the fullness of the measure of Christ, we are to grow up into that, into Him. Okay? So, verse 16 says, the whole body is joined together through what every joint supplies. In other words, every part of the body needs to walk in this and function so that the whole body will grow together according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body in love. Okay, so we are to grow up into Christ, and every one of us is part of that body. And when we all walk in Jesus, then the body is functioning properly. Okay, now let's go to Matthew 28. If you were here on Sunday, I'm reviewing some of the things which you maybe already heard for the sake of those who were not here. So, Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, when they saw, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Does it say all authority? It says all, right? Does that mean there's some authority that Jesus does not have? No, it means all authority. That means you and I don't have authority, because Jesus has it all. If He has all authority, then it's not my authority. He has all authority. You understand? So when we go and we pray in Jesus' name, it is not our authority, it's Jesus' authority. That's why we pray in His name. We cannot go in the name of Paul or in the name of whatever. In the name of Jesus. So when we lay hands on the sick, they recover because it's Jesus' authority. Okay? It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. In other words, Jesus said, because I have all authority, you go. Okay? You go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So, the apostles, the disciples, they were to teach others everything that Jesus taught them. And some of the things that Jesus taught is to go and preach the gospel, go and heal the sick, okay? Because that was part of what Jesus sent them to do. If you go to Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. Okay, Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8, it says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. So this is some of what he taught them to do. He said, go and preach and say, the kingdom of heaven is near you. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay, so Matthew 28, Jesus said, teach them to do all the things that I've told you to do. Well, right here, Jesus was instructing them before to go and do these things. So we need to teach these things to others, to go and preach the gospel and heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead and cast out demons freely. It says we receive this freely. We did not pay for it, so we should always do it freely, never trying to just draw people to ourselves and say, oh, look what I did. You know what I mean? In Mark 16, it says that these signs will follow. Let's turn there. Mark 16. Mark 16. Verse 17. Let's read. So Mark 16, verse 17, it says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They can drink any deadly thing. It will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So, for example, healing the sick is a sign. That's what it says here, right? It's a sign for those who do not believe in God. And it's a sign that points people to God. A sign shows you, where is Pretoria? Where is Johannesburg? Follow the sign, right? It goes that way. Healing, miracles, all these things, it is a sign that when people see it, it points them to God. It says, God is real. God loves you. That's why he just healed you, because he loves you. Okay? So it says, these signs will follow those who believe. Okay. Now I'm going to jump ahead to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. So now, if we're talking about healing, we're going to talk about now how to do that, okay? Obviously, it's God that does it, not us. But in James, it talks about praying the prayer of faith, and it will heal the sick. It will save the sick. So how do we pray the prayer of faith? Okay, let's go there. James 5. Okay, let's start at verse 14. James 5, verse 14. Somebody want to read that in your Bible? Verse 14 and 15. Nice and loud.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint him with an oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Okay, it says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Okay, that means to heal the sick, right? That word save is the same word in the Greek, which the New Testament was written in Greek originally. And it says the prayer of faith will save the sick. That word save is the same word that is used in Acts 16, verse 31, I think. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's the same word here. Because salvation, it means, in the original Greek, it means to be free from something which is holding, oppressing you. Okay? So the devil, in John 10:10, Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Right? Sickness and disease, what does it do? It steals, it kills, and destroys the body. right? So Jesus, in Isaiah 53:4, it was prophesied that he would take upon himself disease, sickness, and our pains away. Okay, so salvation includes healing physically, and of course healing spiritually. And we know that Isaiah 53:4 talks about that, because Matthew 8:16 says, it quotes Isaiah 53, and it says, Jesus healed all the people from their sicknesses, disease, and it fulfilled what was written in Isaiah 53:4. Matthew talks about that, chapter 8:15 over there. And so Jesus took away the sickness and disease, and so that is why we can lay hands on the sick and they recover. Where was I here? I lost my train of thought. Were we in James? James, that's right. The prayer of faith. So James 5, it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. It doesn't say maybe. Does it say maybe? The prayer of faith sometimes will save the sick. Is that what it says? The prayer of faith maybe? No. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. So what we see is, if we pray in faith, if we can pray this prayer of faith, the Lord will raise up the sick. Is that what it says? Yeah, that's what my Bible says. That's what yours says too. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. In other words, if I see a sick person, I do not need to tell them, well, go and get rid of all your sins, and then I will come and pray for you and God will heal you. No. Healing is a sign for unbelievers. The believers in Jesus are supposed to lay their hands on them and they get well. It doesn't say you need to tell them, oh, you're bad, you have these sins, go get rid of your sins, then Jesus will heal you. No. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus freely healing the sick. People are made well. So, you know, nothing will stop that, okay? So, verse 16, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man has a big effect. That's what it says there. So, we need to pray the prayer of faith, and we need to pray the prayer of faith effectively and fervently, it says. That's what it says. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Are you righteous?
Yes.
Why? Exactly. Okay, so we need to understand that righteousness, you know, some people think, oh, when I'm more spiritually advanced or better, then I can lay hands on the sick and then God will heal them. That's not true. Our righteousness is Jesus. God heals the sick through us when we pray in faith, not because we are good, but because Jesus is good. And Jesus paid for it. We have nothing to do with it. It is not, we cannot fast enough to deserve to get somebody healed. We cannot be good enough to deserve for somebody to get healed. Our body was not beaten and ripped like Jesus' body was ripped in order to pay for somebody's healing. In 2 Peter, it says that because of Jesus was beaten, by his stripes, we were healed. Okay? So when we go and we lay hands on the sick and pray the prayer of faith and they recover, it's because of what Jesus has done. He already paid for it. We're not trying to get God to do something now. He's already done it. In God's eyes, he has paid for everybody's healing. We do not need to try to please God, do it. Jesus, the disciples, they never asked the Father to heal anybody. They never prayed for somebody to be healed. They always commanded the sickness to go. Okay, I'll give you an example. So we'll look at this in 1 second. But so this prayer of faith, we need to pray it. It says, effectively and fervently. Fervently means with power, with your, you know, strongly, right? Okay, so what does that mean? Okay, to pray effectively, I mentioned that Jesus, he never talked to the Father when he wanted somebody to be healed. Let's look at this. Okay, turn with me to, let's see here. Turn with me to, let's go to Acts 3. Let's look at Peter, first of all. Acts 3. If you were here Sunday, we read this, but for the sake of those who weren't here, we're looking again. Acts 3. Okay, so there was a man who, he was lame, he could not use his legs, he could not walk. In chapter 3, Acts 3, verse 2, it says, this man was, he was lame. He was near the temple. Verse 3, it says, this lame man saw Peter and John, and he asked them for money, right? And verse 4, it says, Peter looked at him. It says he fixed his eyes on this person, and he said, look at us. Okay? So I want you to notice something, first of all. Peter said, look at us. And Peter's eyes were fixed on that man, that lame man. Peter was focused. There was nothing else that Peter was thinking about in that moment except that man and his situation. He was lame. He could not walk. Peter said, look at me. Look at us. And he fixed his eyes on them. So there was a focus. Okay? First of all, we're talking about the prayer of faith and how to pray it effectively. Okay? Because it makes a difference if we pray effectively and strongly. Okay. So Peter said, he fixed his eyes and said, look at us. All right? And verse 5, so this man looked at him, he expected to get money. This lame man was not thinking about walking. He was thinking about money. Okay? So this man didn't have faith. Right? This man wasn't thinking about those things. He was thinking about money. Okay? But Peter had faith. So the person who is sick, if they don't have faith, it doesn't matter. The person praying for the sick must have faith. Of course, if somebody has faith, they can get healing directly from God without anybody else praying for them, right? But if you want to go and you want to pray for people and see them healed, it doesn't matter if that person doesn't have faith. It's better if they do, but it will not stop. Peter had faith. This man did not. So Peter said, look at me. He was focused and he said, I don't have money, but what I have, I'm giving to you now. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Okay? Peter had something. It says what he had, he gave to that man. He had the life of Jesus Christ inside of him. And he released that life through faith and said, here, what I have, it's yours. Rise up and walk. And what did he do? So what did he not do? Did he pray and ask the Father to do something? No. Did he ask Jesus to do something? What did he do? He commanded the situation. He said, he fixed his eyes on that person and he said, look, in the name of Jesus, get up And what did he do? Next verse, it says, verse 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he leaped, he jumped, he stood up, walked, and he was all happy. He could walk now. So notice what happened here. Peter focused. He gave that life. He commanded, body, be well. Get up and walk. That's all he did. What you're going to notice in the Gospels is there's no formula. In other words, there's no the one way to do it every time. One time, Jesus spit on the ground, and he put mud in a guy's eyes who was blind. And then that blind man could see. Here, Peter's just saying, get up and walk. Another time, Jesus spoke a word. It didn't happen all the same way, you understand. It's not a formula. It's not a matter of saying the right words. It's a matter of what do you have the faith for that will happen? It's your intent. I can say, if I'm walking, I can say, I can be walking and I can say, oh, excuse me. Or if I'm coming up to the devil, I can say, excuse me, and the devil has to leave. You know what I'm saying? It's the same word, but there is a different purpose in your heart when you say those words. If you can't go to the devil and say, excuse me. Excuse me, Mr. Devil, would you please leave? The devil will say, no, thank you, and jump on you. But when you meet a devil or the work of the devil, you fix your heart on one thing. You are going to destroy. Jesus, God's Spirit inside of you, is going to destroy that sickness. Or that devil, to cast him out, or whatever it is. That is the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is a focus, and it's strong, and it commands a situation to happen. It commands legs to be made well. It commands eyes to see. It commands deaf ears to be opened. Jesus went to in Peter's house, and Peter's wife's mother, yeah, mother-in-law, was sick in bed with a fever. Okay, so she's sick. It says that Jesus rebuked the fever. Jesus spoke to the fever to leave, and she was made well. Jesus did not ask the Father, oh, please, Father, would you take this fever away? He did not do that. Nowhere in the Gospels will you see. You see, most Christians today, that's the way they pray. They pray, oh, Father, please, if it's your will, heal this person. That is not the prayer of faith. That is not an effective, fervent prayer of faith. If we do not know it is God's will to heal, we cannot pray the prayer of faith. We must know what is God's will in order to pray in faith, right? If we don't know it's God's will to heal, how can you pray in faith? You cannot. We must be sure, and that's why we're studying the scriptures, what is God's will? Every time a sick person came to Jesus, Jesus healed them. Never, ever did Jesus say, I'm sorry, it's not the will of my Father to heal you right now. Maybe later it will be God's will. But it's not the right time. Never. Do you see that in the Bible? Never. The devil wants to convince people that it's not always God's will to heal. Why? So he can steal faith from people. The devil is afraid of a believer who prays effectively and strongly the prayer of faith. Why? Because when we do that, people are set free. A sign, a miracle happens, and God, people realize God is real, His power is present today, the kingdom of God is here. That's what Jesus said. He told His disciples, go, lay hands on the sick, they will recover, and tell the people that God's kingdom is here, near you. How do they know that? Because they just saw the power of God. Open blind eyes. Make a lame man walk. Open the ears of the deaf. We are to walk as sons of God. Sons of God are like Jesus. Okay? We're supposed to grow up into Jesus, so our life, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, I think, it says, the way Jesus walked on this earth, that's the way you are to walk on this earth. The same. The same. Okay, so where were we here? We were in Acts 3. It says, so Peter said, what I have I give to you. So the prayer of faith, so remember, so Peter focused and he commanded the situation. He commanded his body to be made well. And what did he do next? He lifted him up. So Peter was not doubting. You don't lift somebody up unless you think they're going to walk, you know. One, a man who cannot use his legs and they've been spending their whole life there. You don't start lifting him up unless you believe what you just commanded to happen is going to happen, right? That is the prayer of faith. Okay. So, some more examples of that. Let's see. let's go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Okay, this is where Jesus was speaking to a fig tree. Did you know Jesus talks to trees? Yeah. What do you think if you see somebody shouting at a tree? Jesus did it? Let's see here. Matthew 21, verse 18. So Jesus was hungry, okay? He went to a fig tree, verse 19, by the road. He came to it, but there was nothing on it but leaves. There were no figs. Jesus was hungry. He wanted to eat. This tree had leaves. It was supposed to have figs, but it didn't have figs. So Jesus said, no fruit is going to grow on you anymore. Jesus spoke, and the words of Jesus, God's word always has an effect, okay? So the words of Jesus always have an effect, okay? So, and the disciples saw it. Oh, and it says, immediately the fig tree withered away, okay? And the disciples saw it and they were amazed, saying, whoa, look at what just happened. It withered away so soon. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done, because whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will, not maybe, you will receive. Does it say whatever things you ask? If you believe, you will receive. Whatever. That's a big general word. Whatever you ask for, believing, you will receive. Okay, but to pray the prayer of faith, we need to know God's will. So we need to know God's will so that we can pray the prayer of faith. This does not mean you can ask God for something that, you know, is not God's will and He will do it. To have faith, we must know God's will. But we know God's will is to heal every time. Okay. So it says, if you have faith and do not doubt. Okay. Everybody sitting here has faith. Everybody here has this kind of faith. Because Jesus said, if you have faith like a small mustard seed, you will speak to this mountain, be removed, and it will move. He says this is in another place. A mustard seed is the smallest seed, right? So he said, if you have faith, just a little bit of faith, like a mustard seed, you'll do this. You'll speak to this mountain, and it will move. Because it's the same faith that you opened your heart to receive Jesus. That's the same faith that it takes to get a sick person well. The thing, so we don't need to worry about having enough faith. Oh, it's wrong to say, I don't know if I have enough faith to heal the sick. Well, first of all, it's not you who heal the sick, it's God, right? I don't believe in healing. I believe in God, who is the healer. You understand the difference? You see, my faith is not in my faith. My faith is in God. My faith is in God that He is trustworthy. And if He says something, I can believe it. I know it's true. I know He will do it because He said it. Because God, I can trust God. He means what He says. He is not a liar. Right? So, if Jesus, who is God, if He says, if you speak to a mountain, He said, speak to a mountain. Okay, there we go again. Jesus is saying, you don't speak about the mountain. You don't speak to God about the mountain. You speak to the mountain. Move, and it will move if you do not doubt in your heart. So the problem is not having enough faith. In Galatians, it talks about the person who works miracles. He doesn't do it because of his own works, but because of faith. Just like you receive Jesus by faith, you pray for the sick by faith. The same faith. It's not a different faith. It's the same faith. Faith in God that He will do it. All right. So, but it says, so here Jesus spoke to the fig tree. And again, He is saying, speak to the mountain. That is the effective prayer. The prayer of faith, we need to pray effectively and fervently, strongly. To pray effectively means you speak to the situation and you tell it what you want to happen. Like Peter said, rise up and walk. Like Jesus, he told the fever to go. You speak to that thing. You don't speak to God about it. You speak to that thing, you command it to go. Why? Because in 1 John 3:8, it says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. 1 John 3:8, it says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness and disease did not exist before sin entered the world, right? Adam and Eve were created in the Garden of Eden. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no death. God did not create death, sickness, and disease. Death, sickness, and disease came as a result of man choosing to go, according to his mind, away from the Word of God. God said, don't eat that fruit. When you eat that fruit, you will die. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. Death and sickness came into the world because Satan deceived Adam and Eve. And so sickness and disease came into the world. In heaven, there is no sickness. In heaven, there is no disease. Okay? It is a work of the devil. And that's why it says that Jesus, He went around everywhere and He set people free who were oppressed by the devil. Sickness and everything. So the reason we command it to go is because we know it's a work of the devil. Anything that steals, kills, and destroys is a work of the devil. Sickness does that, so we can command it to go. We have authority because Jesus gave us authority. He said all authority was given to Him. So because of that, go. Why? Because Jesus gave us His authority to do that. And He also gave us power to do that. In Acts 1:8 it says, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be a witness for Jesus. So during the week I go out and here in the community and I pray for people, you know, and God heals them, and I tell them it's because Jesus loves them and that they can know them, and many people open their heart to receive Jesus because when they see God do something like that, they know He's real, and many people just open their hearts to God. And that is the reason. It's not all about healing here. It's about glorifying God. It's about bringing people to God. It's about showing the power of God so that people can begin to love God and open their hearts to Him and to know Him. That's what it's all about, okay? So there's a purpose for this. And the purpose is so people can be free and so they can believe in Jesus and they can believe in God, okay? And so if any of you want to come together, we can go together this week and we can do that, okay? We will go together, we will lay hands on the sick, they will recover, and you will see God working through you, okay?
We would love to come, but the problem is what time?
Okay, we will organize this in the end. At the end of our meeting, we will organize that, okay? We'll talk about that a little bit later, okay? So, but I just want to continue here. So, okay, we're talking about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is, of course, we must believe. And like it says here, if we speak to the mountain and do not doubt in our heart. So faith is not the problem. You have faith. What we need to be careful of is the doubt. You understand? So it says, if you speak to the mountain, you have faith and do not doubt. So faith is not the problem. Okay, what does it mean to doubt? Doubt, in the original Greek, it means you're walking that way, but then you pull back. That's what doubt is. You stop. You go back. So you start going in faith. I believe God is going to heal this person. You see somebody who is limping. There's a problem with their leg. You're going to go there. You're going to lay hands on them because God's going to heal them. And as you go, you have a thought. What if it doesn't work? The devil whispers in your ear, what if it doesn't work? Or just your mind, you know, oh, what if it doesn't work? Because, and so we have a decision to make in that moment. Are we going to receive that doubt or are we going to ignore that doubt? It is not a doubt just because you have a thought. Okay? It becomes a doubt if you receive that thought and it stops you from going ahead and doing what God commanded you to do. Okay? So if we're going to pray for the sick, when you go and you... we're going to pray. If you have a thought, what if it doesn't work? Just get rid of it. Say, oh, that's not from God because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So, I'm going to ignore that thought. 2 Corinthians 10, it says we need to take every thought captive to Jesus Christ. So, when a thought that comes and it does not agree with what is written here in God's Word, we must just get rid of it. Okay? And keep going forward and do what Jesus told us to do. In Romans 12, verse 2, it talks about renewing our mind. Okay? Let's read that. Romans 12, verse 2. You see, the problem, it's not a problem, the situation is that in our spirit, if we have Jesus, we are born again. The fullness of God is there. All of the power is there. Everything is there. Ephesians 1 says, God blessed us with every blessed spiritual blessing. We have everything we need already. Okay? The problem is, sometimes we pay more attention to our mind than to the Word of God. Let's read this. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So, first of all, the sacrifice he's talking about, you know, it's a picture of the Old Testament when they would just dedicate something to God and it was burnt up. It's gone. We must consider ourselves dead to ourself. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Jesus. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul considered himself dead. no longer living. And the only thing, the way that he was living is Jesus, the life of Jesus in him. So we must realize that, oh, let's look at that. Let's look at verse John 12. We'll come back here. Keep your finger there. Let's first go to John 12. Verse 24. It says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will produce much grain. Okay. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves him, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. So it says, unless a grain of wheat dies, it will not grow. Okay? We need to consider ourselves dead. Okay? Let's read another verse there. In 2 Corinthians verse 5. 2 Corinthians verse 5, verse 13, verse 14 actually, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, it says, the love of Christ compels us because we think in this way, that if one died for all, then we all died. In other words, Jesus died for us, so that we could die to our old life. Okay? And it says, verse 15, he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Okay? We must realize, if we are in Christ, we are dead. You no longer exist. The old you. The old you who, you know, the life we now live is a new creation in Christ. We must live out of our spirit because Jesus recreated our spirit. He gave us a new spirit when we are born again. And we must learn to live out of the reality of what God did in our spirit and not go by just what we see, what we feel, the situation. We must go by the Word of God and command situations to change to become like what the Word of God says it should be like. Bringing God's will from heaven to earth. That is our job as a believer. Wherever we see it. Okay, so we must consider ourselves dead, and so that the life of God can move through us. Jesus, okay, going back to the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, we have faith. Do not doubt. Okay? Trust that God will do what he said he would do. That is faith. Faith is a decision that you make. That decision is that I choose to believe God and what he says, not what I see with my eyes. So it doesn't matter what you see with your eyes. You speak the word of God, you command it to happen, and it happens because that is what faith does. Okay? Do not doubt. Do not draw back. Just operate in faith. So the prayer of faith, effectively, you speak to the situation. Okay? And strongly. We must pray fervently. And those are the two requirements. So effectively and fervently. It's like a laser. You know, a laser? The laser is focused. It is like all this light is brought together in this little place and it, like Peter, he said, look at me. He focused and he commanded the situation strongly. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he helped him up. You see, that's the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Righteousness through Jesus, okay? That's the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of faith through which that will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Okay? So, to have faith, we must just always know that it is God's will to heal. We know that because we talked about Isaiah 53. Jesus paid for it. Jesus' body was broken for us. It was his mission to destroy the works of the devil. Okay, Jesus was healing people, but he never put sickness on anybody, did he? Right? Some people think that, oh, God put a sickness upon somebody so they can learn some lessons. That's not true. Do you ever see Jesus putting sickness on somebody? Never. Jesus is the fullness and the representation of God, right? That's what the Bible says. When you look at the life of Jesus, you see the Father. Because Jesus told Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you want to know the will of the Father, look at the life of Jesus. That is the will of the Father. Jesus never put sickness on anybody. He never said, it's not God's will to heal you because you need to learn some lessons. Never. But that's what many Christians believe. And that's why they cannot pray in faith. If Jesus is the will of God, then we can understand that he always healed, he never gave sickness. So it's always God's will to heal. Okay? When this one man came to Jesus and he said, if you will, if you want to, you can heal me. Jesus said, I want to. But he said, the word he used, I will, means it's his nature. It's who he is. Jehovah Rapha is one of the names of God in the Old Testament. It's God who is our healer. Okay? So Jesus said, yes, I will. The word used there in the original Greek is that it's his nature. It's who he is. It's his nature to set people free, to heal them. Okay? It's not his nature to steal, kill, and destroy and make them sick and give them diseases. No. The devil does that, not God. That's why Jesus commanded his disciples to go and heal the sick and preach the gospel, always together, demonstrating the nature of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is near you. How do I know? Because people are getting set free. Sickness is going. Devils are leaving. Blind eyes are open. Lame people are walking. The kingdom of God has come near you. And you see the kingdom of God demonstrated by what you see happening, God healing people. You don't see the kingdom of God when somebody is dying from a disease. That's the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God, there is no sickness and disease. God intended for people to die a peaceful death, okay, not because of some sickness. Okay, so every sickness and disease can be traced back to Satan and the fall of Adam and Eve at that time. So even though a particular sickness maybe is not a manifestation directly of the devil, it is a work of the devil because it had its beginning with the devil and sin. Okay, so wherever we see the works of the devil, we are to destroy it. Okay, so it's God's nature to heal. So when we understand this, it gives us faith to pray and see the sick healed because we know it's God's will. God doesn't put sickness on anybody. He commanded his disciples to go and heal. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We are to bring God's will in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven there is no sickness and disease. We are to demonstrate the kingdom of God as a son and a representation of God so that people can be drawn to the goodness of God, the mercy of God, and they open their hearts to God and they become a part of the kingdom of God, and this all goes together. You see? So when we go out during the week, whoever can come, that is the purpose which we go. And the purpose, you know, faith is important because the Bible, Hebrews 11 says, without faith, we cannot please God. Why? Because faith shows that we trust Him. We believe His word. We trust Him that He's going to do it. But love is even greater. Okay? We must remember that. When we go, because when we go and you see God starting to heal the sick through you, the devil will try to come and make you feel, oh, you're somebody special, you know? The only special one is Jesus. And it's through Jesus that we can do this. So we need to go in love. And it talks about, in Galatians 5:6, it says, faith which works through love is what's important, okay? In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, you can have faith to move mountains, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. You know, it says, the Bible says, many people will say on that day, look what I did in your name, God. I cast out devils. I did miracles. And Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. So there's something more important than just doing miracles. It is to operate in the love of God. To number one, love God with all our heart. And number two, love the people around us as ourselves. And that's why we go. We pray for the sick because Jesus said, you know, the most important thing is love God with all your heart, love your neighbor. So if you were sick and you had a disease, you would want somebody to come and heal you if they could, right? So we must do that because of the love of God. And for the love of people, we must do that to show God's love. And so we're going to close here, the last scriptures here, okay? I won't keep you all night. But let's read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, verse 14. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. By the way, read the whole book of Ephesians. It's all about this, what God did inside of you. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, so Paul is praying and he says, oh, that He would grant you according to His riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. So if you want to grow in faith and you want to grow in Christ, you must be rooted and grounded in love. If you have any other motivation, you will not grow to the fullness of Christ, because God is love. That's what the Bible says. God is love. So if we want to grow, we must be rooted and grounded in love, so that we can understand with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So the knowledge of God gives us faith, right? We read the Word of God, it gives us knowledge, and faith is born in us to do the works of God. But the love of God is the most important thing. If people feel the love of God coming through you, you get them healed, they're well, and you're able to look in their eyes with love, and you say, you see what just happened? Jesus loves you so much, and that's why He did that. The love of God will transform and have an impact on the person's life. It's the greatest impact, the love of God. Okay, everything Jesus did, He did it in love. Okay, so we must remember that. The love of Christ passes knowledge. Even if you don't know exactly what to do, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit inside you knows. The Holy Spirit was present at every healing that ever took place. And even if you don't know the right words, nothing, you don't, just go. You lay your hands, you speak a word, and the Holy Spirit through you will heal that person. And the love of God will motivate you to do these things. So to know the love of Christ, it passes knowledge so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. So if we want to be filled with the fullness of God, we must be rooted and grow up in Christ, in love with Him. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So you see, there's that power that works in you, His body. If we believe, we pray the prayer of faith effectively, with focus, we command it. We don't beg God, we command. You see, we should not ask God to do something that He's commanded us to do. You understand? We should not say, God, please heal this person, when God has commanded us to go and lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God gave you a job to do. He gave me a job to do, to go and lay hands on the sick and they recover, and command it to happen. All authority has been given to Jesus, and now we have power, Acts 1:8, through the Holy Spirit to go and to, in the authority of Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit, to command the devil to leave, sickness to leave, bones to be created and healed, so that people can be set free. So we should not ask God to do what He has commanded and told us to do. Go, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Okay? So we pray effectively, strongly, fervently, with focus, and then the answers come. And just remember that whatever we do, the most powerful thing is love, the love of God.
Thanks for listening to this audio. If you'd like more information or audio teachings, please visit our website at www.livingavision.org. That's www.livingavision.org. We're always looking for people who want to work together to make a real impact in the world and in the lives of those around them. So if you're someone like that, we'd love to hear from you.